Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would like to thank you for joining me today for a very exciting teaching again today from the Word of the Lord. I know that it will be a teaching that will challenge you and it will bring change to your life. I believe that God will do great things. I believe that God will do great things. I believe that through the Word of the Lord, we will be encouraged, we will be enlightened, and we will also then have an increase in our faith. Today I want to speak on the subject titled Help My Unbelief. Help My Unbelief. We're going to look at the book of Mark chapter 9. We're going to read from verse 14. Mark chapter 9 from verse 14. Bible says, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. And immediately when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? Now, they have just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, as we will see later on in the text. And maybe there was some glory on Jesus Christ still from the mount, like Moses, and that's caused the crowd to rush through him. We don't really know what caused them to turn to Christ at this moment. And he said to them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit, which makes him mute. The spirit makes the boy mute. Amen. The spirit makes the boy mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out and they could not do it. And he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you and bring him to me? They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into convulsion and falling to the ground, and he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. There's a cry in the earth today from parents and from families, from households and from people. A cry for help. A cry for help. We know there's a thief, there's an enemy that will not rest until he can destroy. Because he has a plan and his purpose is to kill, to steal and to destroy. But we thank God that we have a God that has come to give us life and life in abundance. Thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. The Bible now goes further in verse 22. It has often thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. All those words are so sweet to my soul. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, he came out of, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up. And he got up, and when he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, why could not we drive it out? And he said to them, this kind come out by anything but prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask that you bless us today, Father. Fill my mouth with your word of wisdom, Father. I thank you today, Father God, that from a place of unbelief, we will move into a place of faith. We thank you for the principles that is unlocked in this word, Father God. And we pray that, Lord, that we will not only be hearers of the word, but doers. We thank you for the miracles. We thank you for the deliverances, Father, that will take place today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the many sick bodies that will be healed. And for many people that will be set free from demonic oppression or possession. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today our text takes a very captivating twist. Peter and James and John had experienced the glory of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The experience was so wonderful that Peter desired to remain on the mountain. Jesus knew they could not stay there, for he had still much to accomplish. He had taken them there to reveal his glory, which would serve to strengthen their faith as they endured the difficulties of ministry following his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. As the men made their way down the mountain, they were immediately met with difficulty. There would be no time to rest in the beauty of the moment. They were back among the world and would need to be ready to endure the difficulties it brings. We all enjoy those mountaintop experiences at times in our lives, but we are not afforded the opportunity to dwell on the mountains. Most of the time, we will soon encounter the realities of life, just like Elijah with Jezebel. One moment he's calling fire down from heaven, the next moment he's running away, hoping to die. Following a mountaintop experience, we must learn to use the lessons learned on the mountain as we navigate the difficulties of the valley. As we examine the apostles and this encounter, I want us to consider the thought today. I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. As I said earlier, this is a cry throughout the world, throughout the earth. People are crying for help. People are facing different situations. People are facing different trials. And there is a resounding cry for help. Parents are crying for help for the deliverance of their children from addictions, from bondages. Children are crying at times for help unto the Lord. I was sitting with a group of young pupils, primary school pupils, and speaking to them, encouraging them, trying to build these young people's belief up so that they can think differently and then live differently. And in their eyes, I could see there was a cry in many of those boys and those young girls' hearts for change and transformation in their lives and in their families. And it really broke my heart. I was really taken by it because I saw that these young men, as I spoke on certain things, not knowing that some of them are facing these trials, and sometimes they're acting out because their acting out is a cry for help. The disciples now, as they come down, they are faced with a difficult encounter, They have just experienced a transfiguration. The disciples now immediately met with a difficult situation regarding a man and his son. The man's son's condition was very, very, very bad. Very bad. When we look at how this man's son, the first thing that we look at this was that this man's son was dominated by this evil spirit. Because the Bible says, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and was taken and torn by a spirit. So we understand that this young boy was taken and torn by this demonic spirit. This demonic spirit troubled this young boy. He was taken and he was torn by the spirit. I want us just to look into this. We're going to just look into this. Let's look at the word taken. Let's look at the word taken. The word taken has the idea of laying hold of, to carry away, to seize, or to apprehend. You see, the spirit now had full control over this boy's life. This boy was possessed by the spirit. I understand possession is different from oppression. This man was based, this young boy was possessed by the spirit. The spirit controlled him. The spirit would take a hold of this boy, seize him, and take him. Basically, he was in captivity to this demon power. As many people today across the world are faced with demon possession. People are taken captive by certain spirits, demonic spirits, spirits of bondage, spirits of addiction, drug addiction. We see it in our communities. We see it in our societies. We see people are under the hold of Satan. People that are doing, that are killing people, mass murders. I read about a story in the news some time ago about a mother and a father that killed all their kids. And what they said was a spirit told us to do this. The spirit took control of these two parents and they killed their own children. When Satan apprehends us, when Satan takes full control of our bodies, we will do things that is abnormal, things that are being demonically influenced. And we see this young boy had the same challenge, the same trial. This family was faced with this challenge. This young boy was under the power of this demon spirit and was taken many times away. Many times the devils and the demons take people and make them do things, murders in our communities, in our societies. People cannot be normal and just go out there and kill. It must be spiritual influences, demonic spiritual influences. We see this when it comes to killing, stealing, and destroying. There were times when I've heard stories where men and women would say, I did not know what I was doing. All I knew, I was under some power, under some influence. My God, the devil is a liar today. And I believe that God is going to set people free in Jesus' mighty and majestic name. Now the Bible uses another word. The Bible says, he teareth him. He teareth him. That word teareth speaks about causing convulsions, fits, epileptic type of fits. He was possessed of the devil and his life was filled and dominated by the evil spirit. So he was possessed just like the madman of Gadara. He was under the influences of the demonic spirit. Many times Jesus delivered people in the Gospels. They were under the influence and power of the demonic spirits. Even Paul noticed a young girl in the book of Acts that was traumatized by a demonic spirit. We need to identify the enemy. We need to identify the enemy. Remember, our ignorance of Satan will not bring Satan to a point where he will not attack us. The ignorance that we have will cause Satan to even increase the attack upon areas of our lives where we are ignorant. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge, and we need to be very, very careful on how we look into this situation of this young boy. Amen. The next thing that we learn in the book of Mark chapter 9 verse 18 is, it says, and he foameth and he gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. So when this evil spirit would attack this young man, he would cry out, screaming in misery. I've seen this many times with deliverance. I've seen this many times when we are faced with situations where people are bound and people want to be delivered and they cannot come out because they are influenced or under the hold of demonic powers. I've also heard about stories where people were struggling and this would be the experiences where they cannot say how this child or how this person got bound by the spirits and they can't understand. And so I'm not an expert in deliverance, but what I've experienced in life before, I can at least give some of the things that I've seen through practical experience and what I've experienced and through some reading and studying. I've seen this happen before. And we know that when we experience deliverance, it's the battle between the two worlds, the world of light and the world of darkness. And this day there was a battle now between the world of light and the world of darkness. And we see that even the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, when she came to Jesus, she said to Jesus, my daughter is vexed with an evil spirit. You can imagine how this mother felt, the compassion this mother has. I hear the cry of parents crying out to God for the deliverance of their children. I want my son, I want my daughter to be set free. I don't want to live in this anymore. I don't want to experience this trouble anymore. I've got good news for you today. And I'm going to say throughout this message today, if only you believe. If only you believe. Hallelujah. The Bible now teaches us that he would foam at the mouth and gnash his teeth. His life was not lived in a normal and peaceful way. There was continuous trouble. I'm telling you, I've heard these stories. We have dealt with these situations where parents cannot sleep, where there's uneasiness in a home because of demonic oppression or possession. But the day that devils will flee in the name of Jesus, the day that devil that has been troubling you, we are about to see that devil being troubled by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty and majestic name. Hallelujah. This young man dealt with Satan's influence and domination on a daily basis, and it affected his mind and his emotions. It affected him. Satan will affect you. And therefore we try to go to psychologists, we try to go to these type of things. They give us certain medications and certain things, and these things try to suppress these things. But demons cannot be suppressed. Demonic spirits must be cast out. They must be cast out. You must be delivered from the spirit in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. It is part of our assignment as believers that demons has to flee. As I believe that in these last days, we are going to see an increase of demonic power and influence. And we as the church must be ready. Come on, we must be ready. At this point, this boy is facing a type of, you know, he's facing some things, and we see people that is demonically oppressed or possessed. They're going through challenging situations. Let's look at verse 21 and 22. And the father now replies, "And I spake to thy disciples that they would cast him out, and they could not." And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." So what we discover here is the severity now of the situation. This young man was literally living in torment on a daily basis, suffering difficulty since he was a child. What a state, how would you live as a parent if you see your son or your daughter going through this continuous torment? That's why I said when the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, she didn't accept no as an answer, because she knew faith is a game changer. She knew faith in God can change a circumstance. Faith in God will cause that daughter that was demon possessed will come to a place where that daughter will be delivered. I don't know that she heard that Jesus can cast out demons, but the Bible says his fame kept spreading all over. So she must have heard, she must have seen. And what she did not accept was a no. What she did not accept was, "I'm just going to allow my daughter to be like this, go through this. I'm going to experience, my daughter's going to experience a deliverance." Come on, the daughter, she must have heard about the madman of Gadara. She must have heard something about Mary Magdalene that had the seven evil spirits. But her faith in God brought deliverance. Jesus said, "Go home, your daughter is well." I want to say to somebody today, there's deliverance taking place in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, glory be to God. Deliverance is taking place. My God, I believe that God is delivering. God is setting free in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every evil and foul spirit right now in Jesus' name. Let's continue. And the Bible says, and he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. Oftentimes he had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." The enemy's work was to kill this young boy. We understand that this was really, really a serious situation. We know that the spirit would overcome the young man, cause him to fall into fire and into water, trying to burn him and trying to kill him, drown him. Because the spirit only has an agenda: kill, steal, and destroy. Therefore, where's the church? We cannot play with the evil spirits. We cannot play with demonic spirits, because they have to flee. Hallelujah. He has to flee. This young man was at the mercy of this evil spirit. His life was dominated by Satan and in utter defeat. He was living in defeat, because when your life is dominated by Satan, you are living in defeat. And this is where this young man found himself. He was living in defeat. But let's look at the compassion of the father, because we will discover the compassion of this young man's father. Let's look at it. This young man's father had a desire. And what was his desire? The Bible says, and when one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." And the father came to Jesus, desiring him to heal his son. There was a great desire. God will not cast you away. God will not show your way. When you come with a desire for healing, when you come with a desire for miracles, when you come with a desire for deliverance, God will not cast you away. Come on to Jesus. Come on. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You have tried the rehabs. Yes, they have their place. And we thank God for the great work many of them are doing. You have tried certain things. You have tried medication. You have tried counseling. You have tried psychiatrists and psychologists. But one thing that I know, when you come unto Jesus and your faith is in God uncompromisingly, with no other solution, what would the plan be? God will bring your deliverance. This man must have tried everything everything imaginable. Must have gone through a few steps of this, must have tried this, must have been advised to do this, but it has not worked. Must have tried this tea, that leaves, this drug, that drug, this pill, that pill, but that the spirit could not be supported. Rest. His son continued to deal with this demon power. But we know that the Bible says, great is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so now the father recognized Jesus. He is the deliverer. He is the deliverer. When Jesus shows up, deliverance will happen. He's the light of the world. Come on, somebody. Darkness has to flee. Darkness has to flee. And he desired him. He desired that he could be healed. But we are faced here with a dilemma in this portion of scripture, verse 22 to 24. The Bible says, and he spake to thy disciples that they would cast him out. Now, this is now his dilemma. He came to the disciples thinking that they would help him, but they could not. Verse 22. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is a cry of desperation. When we have a look in your Bible, there's an exclamation mark there. There was a cry of desperation. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. God is saying to somebody today. The Lord is saying to somebody today. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. The father had done all that he could. He had taken his son to others, but they weren't able to help him. Apparently, he had heard about Jesus and the miracles that he had performed. He begged Jesus to do something for his son. And Jesus declared healing was possible, but it required faith. It requires faith. Hallelujah. The father honestly replied that he wanted to believe, but he needed help with his unbelief. And many a times this would be our honest response. We honestly need to look into our heart. We would reply in the same way. We know that Jesus is more than able to meet our needs, and yet we tend to doubt him, whether he will respond to our prayers. Many times we feel that way because we would doubt him and wonder if he would respond to our prayers. And we see here at this point in time that there was desperation that was exposed. Desperation that was exposed. And Mark reveals this was a desperate situation. Others had compassion for the situation, but they were unable to help. The desperation is now revealed. And this is what Mark brings forth. And what is the first thing that Mark brings forth? Is their lack of faith. Their lack of faith. The Bible says, and I spake to thy disciples that they would cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? These lack the faith necessary to overcome Satan and gain victory. They lack the faith to overcome Satan and to gain the victory. They lack that faith to overcome Satan at this juncture. Many times we lack the faith to deal with situations. We lack the faith. But God is going to give us here a principle. We're going to find a principle close to the end. And we see they lack the faith to gain the victory. Even the disciples, those who walked with Jesus, were able to cast the demon out. And Jesus was not referring to faith in themselves at this junction, but faith in him to provide the strength and the power to overcome. They lacked faith in the Lord to provide their time of need. In the time of need, they lacked fortitude. Jesus asked them, how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. The word suffer means to hold up, to sustain, to endure. Jesus was disappointed that they lacked the desire to do the things they were able to do and empowered to do. He was wary of their lack of faith and their complacency. And it appeared they were all too eager to let the Lord do things for them that they were able to do for themselves. There are things that are beyond our ability, but there is much that we can do. And God expects us to accomplish those things. Therefore, we need the desire and we need the fortitude. The word fortitude there means strength of mind. We need a backbone to labor for the Lord. Because daily, we always encounter this in services. We encounter this when we go to outreach programs. There's families in need. And we need to come to a place where we have faith in God. where we do not lack the fortitude. We are ready to take on. When I always love the stories of Benson Adeyosa, how he would go to places and where there was witches and wizards and would not fear because he knew that God was with him. He was not intimidated because he had faith in God, not faith in Adeyosa, not faith in his own ability. When we read Wigglesworth, when we read all of these great generals of God, when we read Lester Sumrall, how they dealt with demonic forces, Derek Prince and them, these guys didn't go in their own ability and their strength, but they went with the ability and strength that God gave them. And child of God, we have the same God living in us that lived in this man and woman of God. We have the same God living in us that lives in today's deliverance on people that deals with deliverances and healings or whatever it is the situation demands. We have the ability that God has provided for us. For the Bible says, you shall receive power. You shall receive the dunamis. You shall receive the ability and the sufficiency and the might to deal with these situations. Therefore, the Bible says, Jesus says, you know what? In Luke 10:19, I have given you power to trample upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you, child of God. So you are able to overcome. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. When we look at this, Jesus is about to heal this boy. But we see something as something happens. Whenever we're about to get close to God, something will happen. The enemy will try his final chance or take that final opportunity to try to discourage us or to demotivate us. Listen to what the Bible says in from verse 20. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. So he went into convulsions. Here we discover the devastation of this young man that he experienced under the attack of these evil spirits. Let's look at the timing of this attack. As they brought him, the young man, to Jesus, the enemy attacked him. He did not want him to get to Jesus. Whenever you are getting closer to God, the enemy will launch attacks. As he was making his way to one who was well able to meet his need, Satan attacked him. This was no accident. In fact, it was a carefully orchestrated attack. He attacked when the young man was at his most vulnerable state. He had made the decision to come to Jesus and was about to have the opportunity for healing. Satan wanted to keep him away from the Lord, like Satan is doing with many of us. Many times you need to get up on a Sunday morning, and that could be the morning. I'm thinking about the woman that was bent over with an infirmity for 18 years. Jesus healed her in the synagogue. What if that morning she just decided, I'm not going to the house of God? What if the enemy worked against her going? We don't know what she felt like that morning. We don't know what she experienced. Many times we go through these moments. We go through attacks. We go through trials. We go through situations where we face onslaughts of darkness because the enemy knows we're about to step into a massive mega miracle, and he would do anything to try to stop that. And we see this, it happens whenever you try to come closer to the Lord, the enemy will launch an attack against you. So you need to just keep on pressing. He made the decision to come to Jesus and was about to have the opportunity for healing, and Satan was refusing this. He has not changed his ways. As long as you are living among the world, seeking to please the flesh, Satan will not worry about you. Satan will not bother about you. But if you decide to turn toward the Lord and seek him, you might as well come and get ready for a fight. He doesn't bother on idle Christians. He doesn't worry if you're not doing nothing. But when you decide to draw nigh to the Lord, when you decide to fast, when you decide to pray, suddenly the attacks will come, suddenly the headaches will come, the body aches will come. When you have purpose in your heart and I want to be sold out for Jesus, you need to get ready for attacks. And I'm speaking to people because I know there's a time when you have decided, I'm going to be sold out. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. But suddenly you are now facing the trial of your life. We see that when Satan comes, we look at this attack. We look at the tenacity, the tenaciousness of attack. And we see here Satan pulled out all stops. He realized the young man was about to get to Jesus. And he knew the Lord had the power to deliver him and set him free. And just before this, the young man was getting to Jesus, he endured one final attack. We can rest assured that Satan wants to prevent us from getting to Jesus. He has no problem with us attending services. He has no problem with us being part of the activities in the church. But he does not want you to get to Jesus. He does not want us to come to a place where we will have a life-changing experience. Therefore, I'm convinced that his attacks are the most tenacious and prominent just prior to us getting to Christ. We find a very profound truth in this portion of scripture. Satan doesn't mind us gathering on Sunday mornings. He doesn't mind us singing songs, praying prayers, or even preaching a message. He doesn't care in the least if we go through religious motions of worship services. But if we get serious about serving the Lord and drawing closer to him, experiencing his power in our services, resulting in transformed lives, we are in for a battle. Satan is in the business of hindering and defeating the church, and we must be aware and we must be prepared. We must gird ourselves for the fight. Do not withdraw. Do not pull back. Get up, child of God. Fast another day. Pray another hour. Get into the Word of God. Seek the face of God. Seek God even when you do not feel him. Reach out to God even when you cannot sense his presence. Pray when you don't feel like praying. Show up in your prayer closet when you don't feel like showing up. Because I'm telling you, the devil will do anything. When you have committed yourself, your life to a life of prayer, suddenly there will just come every obstacle to keep you out of the presence of God. When you have committed to a life of fasting, I've always noticed this, whenever you fast, suddenly people want to take you on free lunches and free date nights and free eating out programs because you have made your mind up to fast. But child of God, you're going to have to gird your mind. You're going to have to take, you're going to have to trust and rely in the strength of the Lord and overcome whatever the enemy has meant to break you and to beat you, bring you down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As we look at verse 25 to 29, we now see how Jesus delivers this boy from this demonic spirit. Somebody, gird yourself, get ready. That demon is leaving your house. That demon is leaving your body. That demon is leaving your child. Like Jesus spoke, he said, go mother, go Syrophoenician woman. Your daughter is well in the name of Jesus. Experience your deliverance, experience your healing. Hallelujah. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more. Come out of him and enter no more. This is an action of authority. It speaks of declaring guilt, to censure severely, or to admonish. Hallelujah. When he said, I charge, it's an authoritative, he took authority because Jesus had the ability to call out the spirits, pronounce judgment, and restrain it from further hindrance of this young man. And this reveals to us the absolute authority and power of Jesus Christ. The absolute authority and power of Jesus Christ. He's all powerful. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. There's no power that can match the power of Jesus Christ. There's no power. Satan's power is no match. We cannot even say there's going to be a fight. There is no match. Come on. Verse 26 and 27. And the spirit cried out and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose at the command of Jesus, and the spirit had departed. Glory be to God. Somebody, the spirit is departing in the name of Jesus. That evil spirit is departing in the name of Jesus. The young man was delivered from the evil spirit. He was set free from the dominance and torment of Satan. What a feeling. I tell you, it's a feeling that it's something that you can, you know, when I was bound by drugs and bound by Satan through addiction, with the day when I was set free, what a relief. What a relief. Imagine that Syrophoenician woman's first night of sleep. She could go home and rest. Imagine this father taking his son home and he does not have to fear this boy is going to die because of falling into fire or water. This boy has now been healed. This young man has been delivered. He has been set free. I declare today, freedom is coming in Jesus' name. We see this is also a beautiful picture of salvation. We were healed from the disease of sin. We are set free from Satan's bondage. We are delivered from the guilt and shame of the past. We are restored to God through the Son, Jesus, and Jesus Christ alone has the ability to restore a sin-sick soul. And that is, we come to a conclusion, and we come here, and Jesus gives us a revelation, a principle that we have to apply. A revelation and a principle that we have to apply. Verse 28 and 29. When he has come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There had to be great faith and great preparation. The Lord, there had to be great faith and great preparation through the Lord to overcome. Remember, a casual approach to Christianity does not work with a devil that works 24/7. We cannot have a casual approach. It will never be sufficient. Too often we are much like the disciples. We may have noble ambitions, but we fail to put in the work necessary to experience the victory and to overcome. A casual Christianity will not provide strength against a devil that has been around for a very long time and that has an assignment to kill, to slay, and to destroy. We must be willing to labor in prayer and fasting so that we can overcome, so that we can walk boldly up to the challenges. People are in need, and we need to go. We need to see God deliver, God heal, God set free. People that's coming out of bondage, coming out of pits, coming out of demonic captivity. We need to walk in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We all face difficulties in life. And often these difficulties are beyond our ability to handle. But faith in the Lord, all things are possible, is essential to overcome and experience victory. Are you struggling in the valley of life? Does it seem if your faith is weak? The Lord has the ability to meet our needs and increase our faith. We must trust Him to provide even when it appears hopeless. Maybe you like this young man in need of spiritual deliverance. Jesus provided the means of salvation. We must come to Him in repentance and faith. And if we are not saved, we need to come to Jesus today. Now, today I want to make a prayer. I first want us to say a prayer. And I want us to say the prayer that the Bible says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we shall be saved. So today I want us first to repent. And then we're going to do a few prayers. A few simple, we're going to do a few prayers. Amen. So we're going to pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to You today. I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You died for me and that You rose again. I believe that through Your precious blood that was shed on the cross, it was shed for the remission of my sins. Today I confess all my sins, and today I believe with all my heart that I'm born again and that I'm a child of God. Today I believe that You are my Savior in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you have said that prayer in faith, believing, then you have then you are born again. If you have said it from the bottom of your heart, you are born again. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I thank You, Lord. Your word says, I have given You power over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall harm You. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray every person that is bound in the name of Jesus by every demonic power of sickness and disease, I rebuke spirits of death, spirits of cancer. I rebuke every spirit, oh God, every spirit that is dominating, holding, and taking the lives of people captive. Father, today I loosen them from that demonic power, from that demonic spirit in Jesus' name. Father, today I cast out spirits of infirmity. I cast out spirits of sickness. I command deaf and mute spirits to go. I command a spirit of deafness to go in the name of Jesus. Father, today I pray people that are bound under demonic spirits of occultism, I pray that they will be delivered from every occult, Mohammedism, whatever occult they are bound by in the name of Jesus. I pray that they will be delivered from that hold of that demonic spirit in the name of Jesus. I cast out religion. religious spirits in Jesus' name. Every spirit bound by spirit of religion, I cast that spirit out in Jesus' name. Father, today I cast out spirits of drug addiction, spirits of bondage in the name of Jesus. I cast out spirits of perversion. I command it to leave right now in Jesus' name. Father, this morning I cast out spirits of witchcraft. I command witchcraft. It will leave right now. Every person under the domination of witchcraft, I command that spirit right now to lose its hold, to lose its grip in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the spirit of suicide and the spirit of death to leave in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every evil demonic spirit, I cast you out. I cast you out right now in Jesus' name. And I command you to never return in the mighty and majestic name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that and you believe that God has just done something in your life, I want you to say amen. If you need to connect with us, you can connect with us via our email, via our Telegram, via our Facebook. And we want to disciple you and we want to walk with you, because you will never be the same again in Jesus' mighty and majestic name. God bless you and thank you for joining us today. Amen.